Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for the mercies and the goodness of God and all that your people have said about you this morning. You are everything and even more. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, we pray that the entrance of your word will bring us understanding here this morning. Shed the light in our hearts. Give us revelation knowledge in Jesus' name. And let our eyes be opened. See wondrous things out of thy word. Our ears be open also. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying and understanding come into our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Welcome. Good morning. Good afternoon, everyone. Kingdom series number 5. Today we're talking about seeking and discovering the kingdom of God. Now, this is this series, I believe, is really so important, and that's why I had us pray, you know, at the beginning. God will give us understanding. Yesterday, we were talking about preaching of the kingdom of God, and we've talked about, you know, some subtitles earlier in the series. You might want to check out all the series from the replays if you missed anything. Kicking off from where we stopped yesterday, as you know, in terms of preaching the kingdom of God, and you know, we need to know what it is that we're supposed to preach, and we ourselves need to experience it. We need to discover it. Jesus said that we need to seek first. In fact, he commanded us. It wasn't just an admonition. It was a commandment. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. We're going to talk more about that today. But today, by the grace of God, you know, we have the advantage of learning from the scriptures, seeing all that Christ taught, the apostles, the early church, and so forth, how they taught about the kingdom of God, what it all means. When Jesus began to speak those things in those days, I mean, nobody really knew too much what he was talking about. And sometimes he would bring it in parables, and, you know, everybody would just be, you know, like, what's he talking about? And occasionally, the disciples would come closer and say, Lord, tell us, what did those things mean? And then he would explain it to them. And he also gave the reason why he spoke in parables, because he was trying to fulfill prophecy of Isaiah that said, well, these people see with their eyes, but they don't really see anything. They hear with their ears, but they don't really hear anything. And their hearts cannot understand anything, you know, because if they did, then they would be converted. You know, but, you know, their hearts have been made fat and gross and so on. And, you know, they won't get converted. But if they did, they would be healed too. But today, we thank God for the grace of God that brings to us these things. Now, so let's take it step by step today as we go through understanding what seeking and discovering the kingdom of God is. Now, to seek means to search for something. And when you're seeking for something and you're searching for something, it means either that thing is not readily available or not presently known. You know. So it's something that is not readily available or presently known. That's what you seek for. I mean, if something is right there, you know, in front of you, you won't be seeking for it. You just pick it up. But when you're seeking for it, then you're looking all over. You know, and wouldn't it be really something if somebody was searching for something and they didn't know what they were looking for? Most of the time when people are looking for something physical, talking of in the material realm now, they know what they are looking for. You're looking for your keys. You're looking for your phone. You're looking for your wallet. You're looking for something. I mean, you know what you're looking for. But if you're looking and you don't know what you're looking for, that's like groping in darkness. You just, you know, fumbling around. You really don't know what you're looking for. Well, that can't be our portion, because, you know, we know what we should be looking for. But in case we don't know, we're going to explain what we should be looking for concerning the kingdom of God. Now, yesterday we talked about how the early church preached the kingdom of God. And when they preached you know, the scripture explained that they spoke about those things pertaining to the kingdom. You know, so that's what it meant for them. You know, things that pertain to you. But what things? You know, and most of the time he just couched it like that, you know, spoke about things pertaining to the kingdom. But what things, really? So let's look at what things, you know, what did Jesus say and what are the things? So what does the kingdom really look like? What should we be looking for? And so on and so forth. You know, first of all, I want to read this text in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. I want to read through it because it was right after, at the end of all those sayings, that Jesus said this remarkable statement, which is what we're dealing with this morning about seeking the kingdom of God. You know, so let's see what, and I know you know these scriptures, but just read along with me and see what the Lord is saying here. So we're going to seek the Lord and seek his kingdom. We want to discover or rediscover. That's right. It's either we are discovering or we are rediscovering the things that have to do with the kingdom of God. So let's see what Jesus said, how he began to, you know, instruct the people. He said, no man can serve two masters. Now, this is Matthew 6 and 24. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon. Well, what is Mammon then? Well, Mammon is a spirit that is behind the quest for riches and also, you know, the negative influence that, you know, dependency on wealth might bring. Now, that's the spirit that's behind that. It's called Mammon. So, and Jesus is saying here that, look, you can't think within yourself that you can serve both God and Mammon. Pick one. Unfortunately, people today have picked Mammon. We've picked Mammon above God. Now, all the things we chase after, and so on and so forth. Well, you know, the quest to be rich, quest to amass wealth. Nothing wrong with those things. Those things will come if you know how to do it. And that's what we want to talk about in the lesson today. Here's what Jesus said. Look, when you pursue after those things, then basically you've missed the mark. But how then should you? I mean, we do need these things, you know? So, well, this is how you're just going to tell us how to get them. He said, look, first of all, don't take any thought for your life saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? For your body, what shall we put on? How many of us can really literally follow that? You know, those things are hard things. Literally follow that. But what it means is don't be consumed with that stuff. You know, of course, sometimes you do think of what you're going to eat. You have to go to the store, think of it. You buy this and buy that. But don't be consumed by it. You know, that stuff should not have dominion over you. Now, Jesus goes on to explain that our life is more than meat. And our body is more than raiment. Now, the fowls of the air, he said, they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Now, which of you, he said, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? I mean, can you even add one inch to your stature just by sitting down and thinking about it? Can you make yourself get taller by just thinking about it? Now, and why take ye thought for the raiment? He said, consider the leaves of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. But yet I say unto you, they are not even Solomon. Even Solomon, he said, in all his glory was not like arrayed like one of these. My goodness. Now, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not much more he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, he said, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or whither shall we be clothed? Now, he said that already about two or three times here. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. He knows that you have need of these things. So trust him. But, see, here is the lesson. You know, he said, look, don't let your attention be, you know, upon what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, what you will do, and all of these things. But here's where you should direct your attention. The quest in your heart should be after the things of God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things, you know, you will be added unto you. You know, so take no thought even for the morrow and so forth. You know, take care of itself. There's enough evil for one day, he said, you know. But he's saying, look, seek ye first. So with this commandment to seek ye first the kingdom is what we want to deal with today. What does it mean? What am I looking for if I'm looking for the kingdom of God? Is it just some cliche, you know, the kingdom? What am I looking for? Well, you know, so that's what we're going to get into this morning. Now, the spirit that is behind the pursuit of riches and the negative influence what material wealth can bring is called mammon. One time, you know, there was a man that came to Jesus and said, you know, asked him a few questions. And, you know, and the Lord told him, well, you know, do this and do that, you know, love, you know, honor thy father, honor thy mother, do all of these things and so forth. And the man said, well, you know, I've done all these things since my youth and up. And the Lord looked at the man, and it was true that he had done all these things, you know. And the Lord said, well, very good, you know. But he said, there's one more thing that thou lackest. And you can read this story in Mark chapter 10, you know, because this was the man, he came and said, look, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. Honor thy father and mother and so on. And after he said, well, I've done all these things, Jesus said, well, good. You know, but you lack one thing. Now go sell what you have and give to the poor. And then you have treasure in heaven, and come and take your cross and follow me. Now at that saying, the man went away and was very sad. Why? Because he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around him. You know, we're now in Mark chapter 10, you know, verse 23. He looked around him and said to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Now remember, the kingdom of God is what we're talking about here. And here's something that Jesus is saying about the kingdom of God. He said, those that have riches. And so the disciples said, wow. What does that mean? You mean that if we have riches, we can't be good, enter in the kingdom? Do we have to be poor to enter the kingdom? So Jesus rephrased it and said, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. So it is the trusting in the riches, not just the riches by themselves, but it's the trusting in the riches that can prevent someone from entering into the kingdom. And Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. If we must then enter into the kingdom of God, the disciples were astonished beyond measure. I told here. I said, well, who then can be saved? And she said, well, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. So, if then we must be saved, and if then we must enter into the kingdom of God, and if, you know, we are in danger of entering into the kingdom if we trust in riches, or if we trust in the pursuit of all these things, then we need to be very careful on what the Lord is saying here. Now, on the other hand, Jesus promises to those that first put first the pursuit of the things concerning the kingdom of God. You know, so putting that first is what Jesus is saying. You know, he didn't say that, you know, you shouldn't eat and you shouldn't drink or you shouldn't wear clothes. You know, but he's saying, look, put first the pursuit of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then the material things will be added. So there is something that is inferred from that statement. That means there may be something we don't know that we need to search for. Because if it's in plain view, and if everybody has it, and everybody knows it, then Jesus wouldn't be telling us to seek and to search. So it's kind of like, you know, the commandment that God gave to Moses to lay out the temple and so forth. There was the showbread, which was in plain view. And then there was the hidden manna. And this represents, you know, some of the things we're talking about today. Showbread is in plain view. Everybody can see it. Well, hidden manna is tucked away somewhere, you know, inside, way inside, you know, that you can't get to it. And, you know, even when you're looking on the outside, you can only see the container, but you can't see what's inside because it's tucked away in there. You know, now that's on my subject today. I'm just bringing something out. So when this is hidden, when something is hidden, it's going to take an effort for us to find it. If something is in plain view, well, maybe you can easily get it. So Jesus, he put out his parables in a hidden manner so that you have to make an effort to find it. Now, a parable, you know, is an illustration of some certain things or truths or whatever lessons, you know, that's put out there in plain view, but yet is hidden. And, you know, most of the people that hear it, it'll just pass over their head because they didn't take the extra time to go seek. And so the disciples would take the extra time sometimes and say, look, explain to us, Lord, what are those things that you are saying? And why do you just say it like that? I mean, the way you say it, nobody could understand it. And Jesus said, yeah, that's why I said it. You know, so that they won't understand. But if they come and ask, like you are doing now, then I will explain it to them. And there are a lot of things in the Bible kind of like that. You know, some things that are out there at first may seem confusing. You know, at first may look contradictory. But, you know, as I said before, you know, it's like, look, when you read the Word of God, you know, your number one premise must be that the Word of God is true. Because Jesus said that word is truth. You must understand that. So, you know, and if you don't understand what it's saying, rather than thinking, well, maybe that's not what it means. Well, I say, well, maybe I don't understand. That's a better approach. You know, first you assume that the thing is true. Go with that assumption that the thing is true. That's the premise, you know, and then you go about trying to figure out, you know, how to understand it. Now, some people go in with the assumption that, well, the thing is not true. That's not what it means. And when you say, well, that's not what it means, you have already discarded it and you'll never probably even find out the truth. But if you say, look, that's what, and even when you see a couple of scriptures that appear to contradict each other, you've got to go in with the assumption, actually it's a stronger than assumption, but you know, you got to go in and say that, look, I know these things cannot be contradictory. So help me, Lord, to understand. And the scripture interprets itself. You got to find other scriptures. The Holy Spirit will show you other scriptures that will help you understand. So when there's a lesson or a parable being thrown out and we don't understand it, rather than just shrug it off, well, we need to come to the Lord and find out. You know, so now here are some promises that the Bible gives for those who actually search out these things, seek out these things. Well, we see that Jesus explained to the disciples in Matthew 13, he said, look, you know, it's given to you. Why? Because you came to ask. You know, and that's why you find out more if you take the time to ask. You know, one time Mary took the time to sit down at the feet of Jesus, but Martha was running around. And Jesus said, look, this woman here, Mary, she has chosen the one needful thing, and it's not going to be taken from her. And she's going to find out some things which you won't find out by running around. So she's sitting right there, and she's going to learn some secrets. And so, you know, we need to learn from that too, and develop the habit of going to the Holy Spirit and to try to figure things out. But here's a promise. You know, not only did Jesus say in this Matthew 6:33 that we read that, you know, when you seek the kingdom of God, you know, the other things will be added to you. But also, does God dangle a carrot in front of us? In front of us, say, kitty, 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 come and get it. I mean, is that what God is doing? Playing pranks with us. And when we are about to come and get it, he pulls it away. God doesn't do any such thing. If he tells you to seek, it's because he's going to give it to you. If Jesus tells us to ask, it's because he's going to give it to you. Why would he tell us to ask for something if he does not intend to give it to us? I mean, that would be like playing pranks on us. You knew you're not going to give me anyway, but you're asking me to ask. You know, then what's that all about? No, that's not our God. If he tells you to ask, it's going to be given. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be given unto you. You know, Matthew 7:7-8. For everyone that asketh, receive it. And everyone that seeketh, find it. Now that's everyone that seeketh. So let's look at the promises for seeking. And then we'll come in a few minutes to what we should seek. But here are some general promises just for seeking. Matthew 7 tells us verses 7-8. Ask, you'll be given. Seek, you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. So that's a promise. It's a promise that if we seek, we will find. And if we knock, it shall be open to us. So that's a definite promise. Well, let's look at a few other promises. You know, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11:6, we're told that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek the Lord. You know, now that's not haphazardly. You know, we don't know that if we seek haphazardly, we may find anything, but we got to diligently seek him. That's Hebrews 11:6. He's a rewarder. So these are promises about seeking. Before we get into what we should actually be seeking, we already have a promise that if we seek, we will find. That's a promise. And he will give it to us. He will show us, you know, if we seek. If we ask the Holy Spirit, he will show us. So, you know, that's a promise. Jeremiah 29:13 also tells us, you know, gives us a very important principle. The Lord said, look, you will find me when you seek for me or search for me with all your heart. That's the same thing as diligently seeking. Hebrews 11:6 and Jeremiah 29:13 are saying the same thing. You know, God will give to the diligent seeker a reward of finding. You know, that's what he said. So we have that in the back of our mind before we even know, you know, I mean, get on this quest of pursuing or seeking or searching out something. You know, now in the book of Proverbs, you know, chapter 25:2. It reveals an important lesson here. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings it is to search out a matter. God likes to hide things. Thou verily art a God that hideth thyself. God likes to hide things, you know, but you will be rewarded when you seek. He will let you find. Hallelujah. He will let you find. But you've got to seek diligently. So God takes pleasure in hiding the things of the kingdom because he wants us to put value in it. You know, that's why you find that rare metals are not found on the surface of the ground. You can't just go around, going around, pick up a stone and then it will be gold. It's not going to happen. You're going to dig and dig and dig. Sometimes they have to dynamite the earth and do a lot of digging and so forth before they, maybe after thousands of feet, they might find something, and then even when they find it, it doesn't have that glister just yet. They got to put it through the refiner's fire and so on. There's a price that God put on these things. And so that's why he hides them. By the knowledge of God, he has hidden these things in the earth, even these precious metals. By the knowledge of God also, it is his pleasure to hide these things. He said, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father in heaven and earth, that thou hast, hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. So God actually does hide things, but he also reveals them. It's not that he doesn't hide them for everybody forever, but he hides them from those who think that they can get it just by, being wise in their own conceits. You can read Matthew 11 and 25. I thank thee, O Father, Lord God of heaven and earth, Jesus said, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. Actually, Jesus was thankful that God did that, but that's not the end of the story. If you stop there, you would think that, so this is a mean God that just hides things. No, he wants you to search, but he wants you to come in humility. Come like a baby, because he reveals them unto babes. And Jesus said, even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. Who are you to query what seems good to God? That's how God put it out there. It seems good to God for us to have to seek and search for it. So, that's the way that he put it out there. But there is a promise that if you seek, you will find. Now, David instructed his son Solomon, that he needed to know the Lord and he needed to serve the Lord. And, that the Lord, he had to do it with a perfect heart and a willing mind. So let's read that story in 1 Chronicles, chapter 28. I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. So this is David. Now, David already knows that, he's not going to do what he thinks he wanted to do, build the Lord a house and so on. And the Lord already told him, you're not going to do it. But your son, he will do it. And so, David is going to give instructions to Solomon here and say, look, he's telling Solomon what the Lord told him. He said, the Lord said to me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build me the house. And I've chosen him to be my son. I'll be his father. Moreover, this is verse 7 of 1 Chronicles 28. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. And if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments, even as at this day. Now, therefore, David is going to give a charge to Solomon in the presence of everybody. We're going to give him a charge. And so he said, now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, I'm going to charge you, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land. So he's giving the instruction not only to Solomon, but also to all of Israel. And that one was general for Israel. But now he's going to turn around and give point blank to Solomon. And thou, Solomon, my son, you must know thou the God of thy father, and you must serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. So, not just, serve the Lord because somebody told you serve the Lord, but do it willingly. That's how you will know the Lord. But the whole thing is that you've got to know him, and you can't. If you not to know him, you have to seek him. We did that series a couple of months ago. To know him, you first have to seek him. Well, to know the kingdom, we have to seek the kingdom. The fact that Jesus has told us to seek the kingdom means there's something to be sought and something to be found if we do it right. And, so David is telling his son Solomon here, you've got to seek the Lord with a perfect heart and a willing mind. And I want to reiterate the same thing to us in this subject of the kingdom of God. We need to seek the kingdom of God with a perfect heart and a willing mind. That's how we do it. But what is the value that God, you know, that we ourselves can place on seeking and finding, or finding means discovering or rediscovering? You know, you may think you have known some things. Well, you know, you can get more things. As I often said, you know, bring your bucket to the ocean or bring a bigger container and so on. You get more things, you know. So now, what is the value that we can place on seeking and finding the things pertaining to the kingdom? Well, let's read it. Many parables, and I'm going to deal with some of the parables, you know, later on. But many parables of the kingdom that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 13. There's two parables here in about two short verses, or three short verses, verses 44 to 46. Jesus gave, you know, some very short parables, but it's going to answer this question that I'm putting here right now. What kind of value do we place on the things of the kingdom? Well, here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. It's how Jesus said it. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure. So right away, Jesus is likening the kingdom of God into treasure. Yeah, that's, you know, treasure is not, it's not, you know, like I already said, those stones of treasure, they are not the stones that you just pick on the ground. Man, this, he said, this is like a treasure, that treasure that's hid in a field, the which when a man had found, now in order to find it, he did some searching. He did some digging. He did some things, you know. I remember when I was a young man, we used to do these things called digging deep, you know. Come into the night vigil all night long. We call it digging deep. And you go into scriptures, you know. Well, we're trying to dig deep into these things here in these lessons. Now, this man, when he had found this thing, he hideth it. Now, look at the value that this man puts on it. He hided it, and for joy, he went out and sold all he had and comes and buys that field where he found the treasure. He buys it. So, you know, put it, lock it up. Nobody else can get it. Now, what value do you put on the things of the kingdom? Is it like a treasure to you? When you find it, does it bring joy? I mean, what are you going to do to get it? You know. So these are some lessons, you know, that will lead us to what we are talking about here. Read the next verse as well. Matthew 13 verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all he had and bought it. So in these two short parables, which Jesus said the kingdom of God is like this, Jesus is teaching that, look, this thing is of great value. And something that's of great value cannot be found just easily. You know, it's going to come with a price. You know, and people say no pain, no gain. You know, it's going to come with a price. You cannot find anything of great value. You cannot obtain anything of great value just like that. You know, Jesus said, look, this kingdom is like, you know, treasure. So is it like treasure to you, though? I mean, how do you treasure the things of the kingdom? Well, one of the most important things of the kingdom is the word of the kingdom. That's one of the most important things, you know, and we'll talk about the word of the kingdom in a bit. In the opening parable in this chapter 13, Jesus talked about the sower that went to sow. And he said, look, the seed that this man is sowing is the word of God. So when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then, well, the devil comes and catches it from their heart, and then, you know, they lose everything. So Jesus is saying the seed here is the word of the kingdom. And so that's perhaps the most important thing about the kingdom, the word of the kingdom. Well, where are you going to find it? It's like the constitution of the kingdom. You're going to find it in the Bible. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. You know, so we're, and I'm laying a foundation for us to know that these things, you know, searching for the kingdom of God should be like a treasure. When you find it, it'll bring you great joy. You know, but what is it going to take, you know, for you to find it? You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 162, what does he say? He said, well, I rejoice at your word as someone that found great spoil, like great treasure. For him, anytime he hears the word of God or understands it, it's like tremendous treasure to him. Well, what is it to you? I mean, what is it worth to you? You know, so, you know, sometimes the word of God means nothing to some people. And that's why God said, look, this is the man or woman, you know, to whom I will look, he that trembles at my word. Trembling at the word of God is somebody that takes it as treasure, somebody that's so important. I'm not going to trifle with it. I'm going to handle it with great care, you know. And that's what he said. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 2. All things are mine. I've created all these things and so on. You know, but this is the man that I will look, unto whom I will look. You know, it's like saying, will God have respect of persons? Well, some people say no. Well, yeah, when you have a contrite heart, contrite spirit, and you tremble at his word, he will look toward you favorably. That's right. You know, so he said, look, you know, but some people, when they trifle with the word of God, they hear it and they don't care about it. Well, the devil will come and take it out of their heart, even we're told. You know, so what is it going to take for you to discover the word of God or the treasures of the kingdom or these things that Jesus is telling us to seek after? You know, what are you willing to pay for it? You know, what are you willing to pay for it? And that's the question. You have to ask yourself that. You know, is it worth anything to you at all? You know, what is it then? Well, let's read Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23. And I think I did a lesson like this many months ago. This replay is out there somewhere. Buy the truth and sell it not. You know, what does it mean to buy the truth and sell it not? Well, this man that found this treasure, he went and sold everything he had and bought the field. And for great joy, yeah, he's not going to give it up. You know, so what is it going to cost you? How much are you willing to pay for the truth? You know, and then what's it going to cost you to give it up and compromise it, your standard? You know, so buy the truth and sell it on. The treasures of the word of God, they're like truth. Jesus in his prayer in John 17 said, Lord, you know, talking to the Father, he said, look, I've declared unto them thy word is truth, you know, and so on. He's telling, you know, saying that, look, thy word is truth, you know, and the truth of the word of God is so powerful, you know, John 8 and 32 and so forth, and verse 36, talking about the Son of Man set you free, and say, well, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, but the truth by itself doesn't set anybody free. It is the truth that you know that can set you free. But that's what Jesus said. When you know the truth, that knowledge of the truth is what sets you free. If you think that, you know, just by itself, the truth will set you free, then everybody should be free. But the truth is always there. But no, they're not free because they don't know it. And they don't know it because they don't seek for it, or it's not being revealed to them. You know, so blessed are your ears that hear these things, and your eyes that see, and your heart that understand. You know, for these things have been hidden from many. You know, but when you know the truth, it will set you free. It will make you free. John 8 and 32. So, now that we know that, look, there's some value to it, that's why God hides it. And people that are searching for it, they are willing to go and buy, sell everything and buy that field and hide it and so forth. I mean, it's like Jesus didn't explain any of those two parables. He just put it out there. Very short parables, but he just left it out there. And it's left for us to figure it out. you know, but what are the things that we need to understand? Well, Jesus will talk about, there are many places where he drops various things, like, you know, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, he was dropping something after Peter, when Jesus asked the disciples, look, what do people say that I am? And so forth, you know, whom do they say I am? And everybody said this and that. And said, what about you guys? And so, and Peter said, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, wow, this thing that you have said, you didn't say it by itself, yourself. My Father revealed it to you. It's a treasure. Not everybody will have it. You know, and you can't get it by just physical learning, you know, academic knowledge. It's a revelation of the Holy Spirit. He said, well, upon this rock, that's a revelation, I will build my church. That means anybody coming into the church must have that revelation of who Christ is. Now, but he said, look, when you have that revelation, I'll put in your hands the keys of the kingdom. So in this series, we're also going to be talking about the keys of the kingdom. These are the things that we must start, because Jesus didn't explain it. The only inkling that he gave us about the keys of the kingdom is that these keys are, with the keys, you are able to bind certain things, lose certain things. Well, we know, what does a key do? A key is, there are many meanings of keys. The most, you know, immediate thing that comes to mind when you think of a key is something that you use to unlock a door. Well, it may not always be a door, but it could be a key. You know, we have keys also in technology. It's not a door, but it opens certain secrets. If you have the key, then you can unlock something that is encrypted. You know, it's coded. You can have it. So the key is like the code. If you know the code, then you can figure it out. It's not only just a door. It can be, you know, something, but it's encoded. And if you know the code, then you can unlock it. Well, you know, it's like a seal, the seven seal book. Jesus had the code to open it. Nobody else had it. So the keys, what are they? I mean, I give you the keys of the kingdom of God, and you open something, you know, you bind something, and then it's so and so on. And Jesus told him. So let's read that. Matthew 16. I'm not going to read all of the conversation between him and the disciples. You know that already. But let's read this verse 19, where Jesus said, you know, this statement. And let's take a look at this statement and see what it might mean. You know, he said, look, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind. Now, he's talking about keys. Why are you talking about binding? Why didn't he just say, whatsoever you shall open? Because, I mean, that's what a key does. The key is to open something. So when you're saying, I'm going to give you some keys, right? Whatever, you know, the next thing that should come out of his mouth should be, and whatever you open shall remain open, and whatever you lock shall remain locked. Because he's talking about keys. But he didn't say that. He didn't use the word open and lock. He's using the word bind and loose. And he's telling you that those are keys. So what does that really mean? Well, let's take a look. In order for us to take a look at some other scriptures, let's look at the conversation of God and Job in Job chapter 38. And you heard me refer to this from time to time, but you know, here is something important. You know, now, God is challenging Job in this chapter, the whole chapter, very interesting. And the one after it, you should read it when you have time. Very interesting. All the things that God was challenging Job after, I mean, you know, about, you know, 38, 39, 40, all of them, they're very good. But in this chapter 38, God is asking Job, say, look, you think you have knowledge? Okay, gird up yourself, your loins like a man, and answer me some of these questions, and I'll ask you, and tell me if you know the answer. And God began to ask him, look, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? You know, and of course, Job put his hand on his mouth. He had no clue. So God gets down to here in chapter, I'm actually going to read verse 38, but let me read it from, I mean, verse 33, sorry, Job 38 and verse 33, but let me start from verse 31. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades? Now, we're talking about binding now. And Jesus said, bind and loose. Can you bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades? Now, what are the Pleiades? Well, constellations are out there, you know. Can you bring forth Mazaroth in its seasons? Can you loose? Now, here's binding and loosening in this chapter 38 and verse 31. Can you bind the influences? Can you loose the bands of Aaron? Can you bring forth Mazaroth in his seasons? Can you guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? And canst thou set dominion thereof in the earth? Now, there are certain ordinances which are wrapped up in these keys. And if you know how to use them, you can either lock things up, which in the case might be bind. You can also loose, which in the case might be open. But it's more than just a door. It's ordinances. You know, things happen based on the earth. I mean, things on the earth happen based on something that's already released in the spirit realm. That's what this is talking about. So, the ordinances of heaven, those are the keys of the kingdom. Now, do you know how to operate these things? You know, can you bring influence to bear on the earth based on some things that you set in the heavens? Well, actually, by God asking Job these questions, I now discovered years ago that yes, you can. You know, all these things you can actually do, but you know, you've got to figure it out. How can you do these things? You know, I mean, can you command the womb of the morning? Absolutely. Can you do this? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds? Well, absolutely. You know, but you know, there is a price to be paid in order to get there. You know, and you know, look, this is knowledge. You say this knowledge is too high for me. Well, yeah, it's hidden, but God will reveal it to some, and then some people have to actually seek for it. Now, there are some people in the world and in the dark world that understand these things, that look, in order for you to bear dominion upon the earth, and this is the corrupted version of it, right? You go into the heavenlies and you do some things and bear dominion over those upon the earth. Well, that's the corrupted version. Actually, in the beginning, God wanted that to happen. Told Adam, have dominion. But we lost it. And God is saying, look, there are some certain ordinances of heaven, principles, keys, secrets, and the things that pertain to the kingdom of heaven, which is really rulership upon the earth. I mean, when you know these things, you can set them in heaven, you can make them to have dominion. So Jesus said, well, if you know how to do it, you are here on earth, right? But if you know how to do it, you say it and it'll happen in the heaven and then it will happen in the earth. So what Jesus is saying, whatever you will bind, you know, I mean, you are in the earth, you're not in the heaven, but you bind it because you understand how it works. You're seated in Christ in heavenly places. So you bind things upon the earth. It, you know, God sanctions it. And when it's sanctioned from the heaven, then it actually really happens. You're actually understanding some truths. And you're declaring them forth because now you understand it. You're walking in the principles. It's more than declaring. There are certain principles that guide certain things. You're walking in those principles. And then God says, yeah, it'll be sanctioned from heaven. And then it will actually come to pass. You know, that's what Jesus is talking about. So let's take a look at, you know, the word of the kingdom, you know, which I call the constitution, you know, the constitution of the kingdom. What are the things that we need to know? What did Jesus, I mean, when Jesus was saying these things about, the kingdom and all these things, seeking the kingdom, what did he really mean? Well, let's take a look at some attributes of a kingdom. Then we'll know what we need to seek and what we need to understand. Every kingdom must have these 8 or more attributes. Number one, you know, every kingdom has a king, right? Because, you know, that's what the word kingdom, it comes from king's domain. He has a king and he has a territory or domain. So number one, God is the king. Isaiah 43 and verse 15. We know that God is the king, right? Now, we know also that the children of Israel, they rejected God as king. You can see that in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 7. But God said, I'm the king. I am your king, he said in Isaiah 43 and verse 15. Now, there's a territory that goes with that king. I mean, if it's a king and he doesn't have a territory or a domain, then he has no kingdom, because a kingdom is a king's domain. You know, so if he doesn't have a domain, then he has nothing to rule over. So there must be a king, number one. There must be some kind of territory or domain, number two. And, you know, there must be in that domain, there must be, number three, citizens. You know, this is every, you know, every kingdom has these things. And then, well, there's also a constitution. That's number four. Part of that, inside those constitutions, you may find some laws. That's number five. But, you know, a kingdom that has no government, you know, things are going to be out of order. So there must also be government. That's number six. And then, well, what about, you know, what can the benefits, I mean, what can the citizens enjoy? Well, number seven, their benefits and their rights, and so on. You know, and then, you know, number eight, last but not the least, there's a way, culture, you know, it's called code of ethics, or culture. There's a way that you operate in that kingdom. You know, people say, well, when you're in Rome, you do like the Romans. Well, that concept was, you know, I don't know where people got that from, but there's a culture. There's a culture in the government. Well, we're going to take a look at the kings. We know the Lord is the king. And take a look at his territory or his domain. Well, in the book of, Psalm 115, verse 16. You know, what does the psalmist tell us here? Where is his domain? And where is the range of his rule? You know, upon what areas does he have jurisdiction? That's really what his domain is. Where's his jurisdiction at? What does it cover? Well, you know, you can read it in this verse and it'll tell you all the places that his jurisdiction covers. It said, the heaven, even the heavens, this is Psalm 115 verse 16, are the Lord's. But the earth he has given to the children of men. It's his, but he gave it to us. You know, you can't give something you don't have. The Lord had the earth, had the heavens, put his rule in the heavens. Heaven is his throne, the earth is his footstool. He gave the earth to men, you know, and so forth. Now, all the places of his dominion, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalm 24 and verse 1. But he gave it to us. Now, the territory of heaven bears rule upon the earth. God wants us to understand that. The kingdom of heaven is also a literal government, has its own domain. It expands, you know, from one end of the heaven to the other, everything that's under the whole heaven. So thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Thine is the power and thine is the glory. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. You know, everything that is under the whole heaven is yours. Even Nebuchadnezzar, he figured that out. And everything that's under the whole heaven is his, you know. Yeah, so everything is his, you know, and his reigns over all. And it's beautiful how, you know, how the psalmist, how David prayed that prayer and said it, you know, that, look, everything is yours and thou reigneth over all. But there is the reign, that means that government is there. His territory actually is everything because he owns it all. The government, you know, is, we must realize that there's a government Because if there is no government, then everything will be in chaos. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 says, the government shall be on his shoulder. So there is a government to his kingdom. And as a matter of fact, he is actually called the governor. A governor is someone who governs a territory, a colony, or a, you know, some kind of aspect of the domain for the king. So he says in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, you know, he said, Jerusalem will be, Bethlehem will be the place where he will spring out from. But his goings forth have been from of old. He said, out of thee shall come forth one that is going to be governor over my people, you know, whose goings forth have been from of old. That's Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. So there is a governor, and there is a government, and there is governing. And how did God want to do it? Well, he wanted Adam and Adam's generation to govern the earth, have dominion, he said, over the earth. Genesis 1, 26 through 28 told him. His intention was revealed in 26, verse 26. And when he created the man, he actually blessed them and gave them dominion. That's governing. That's ruling authority, rulership. So you do as you please. You are in charge. You know, well, you are in charge. Well, Psalm chapter 8 tells us the same thing. God has given man dominion. You know, these are the things that are already done in his mind. It does not yet appear, but that's it. It's already done. So we must understand that dominion. We must understand that, you know, that the government that is there. We must also understand that there is a constitution. Well, this constitution, every government must have a constitution. For us, it's in the Bible. You know, Jesus quoted the same thing to the devil, which God told Moses to tell the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now that's his constitution. You know, the word of God. That's what Jesus said in the parable of the sower. He said, the seed is the word of the kingdom. And that's it. You know, if you receive it, you understand it. Well, if you don't understand it, they will take it from you. And then there are laws. You know, there's a law in the kingdom. There were many laws that they were giving in the Old Testament, which they could not keep. They tried up and down, but they couldn't. In fact, they failed. In fact, most of the time, they didn't even try. You know, but Jesus, when he came, he simplified it. He said, look, two great commandments. You love the Lord thy God with your heart, with your mind, with your soul, and with all your strength. And then you love your neighbor as yourself. Say, look, I'm keeping it simple. You know, in the Old Testament, it was obey the law, obey the law, obey the law. And then in the New Testament, Jesus, you know, Jesus came and said, believe on me. If you can believe on the Son of Man, do you believe on him? I said, yeah. Well, if you believe, and the Holy Spirit will come and enable you to keep the law. You know, the laws are now written in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit is the enabler that helps us. But there is law. If there is no law, then there is no offense, we are told. You know, the law is what brings offense when you break the law. You know, now, if the traffic police stops you and tells you that you didn't stop at a stop sign, that stop sign there, and then there's no stop sign there, you can argue that there is no stop sign there. Or if they tell you that, look, you were driving in this neighborhood and, you know, it's supposed to be such and such speed limit, well, then the sign should be posted. Driving on the highway, signs are posted to make sure that there is a law. So when they pull you over, they tell you that, did you know you were going at such a, did you know what speed you were going at? They ask you. Did you know what the speed is? Yeah. They ask you because it's posted. When there is a law and you don't keep it, then you have broken it. But if there's no law, then there's no speed limit, then there's no speed limit. And there is no, I mean, you can go anywhere. There are some countries like Germany that have the, you know, they call them the Autobahn. You know, you can go at any speed you want on some of those streets. They used to have them. I don't know if they still have them. You know, but, you know, when there is no law, then there is, you know, no sin. But there is a law. and God will by no means clear the guilty. And that's in his kingdom. And then there are benefits for the citizens. So we're going to talk more about, in the next lesson, we'll talk more about the citizens of the kingdom. But this lesson is for you to see that there are things we need to understand. These are the things we need to seek and understand. And more, we're going to focus more on the benefits, the rights, and the code of ethics, which is the culture. What is the culture? Well, culture of love, peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what he says. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. The fruit of the Spirit, basically. You know, all of that is the culture of the kingdom. And we're going to be talking more about that. Praise the Lord. Now, let me summarize the things that we have talked about today. Today was about us understanding that there is something to be sought, which is seek ye, and something to be found, which is discover. So, seeking and discovering the kingdom of God was today's lesson. And Jesus commanded us to seek. And then, you know, what we also went and looked at the promises behind that God gives to those that seek. So if you do it diligently, even David said it to his son, look, if you search to know him and you follow after him with a perfect heart and a willing mind, then you will find him and he'll be found of you. And the Lord said the same thing. If you seek after me with all your heart, you will find me. So we cover these things. It gives us the background for, you know, knowing that we are encouraged, we can be encouraged to seek because he already promised that you will find, but you have to seek diligently. You can't seek haphazardly and you can't skip, without a perfect heart and a willing mind. You've got to seek the Lord in order to find him. But if you seek, you will find. There's a promise that says seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall be given. Knock and you shall find. It's be open to you. So we see all these things. And then we also went in to understand what does it mean? What are the things that are hidden that we need to find out about the kingdom? We talked about the keys of the kingdom. We didn't really explain all they are, but I'm just showing you these things. I called it a deep dive. First, we give all the illustration of the elements, and then we take those elements and go into them. So there are certain keys of the kingdom. It can also be called the ordinances of heaven. You need to figure them out. God so asked Job, do you understand them? Can you know them? You know, and so on. But if you understand them, he said, look, and you know how to use it, you can actually set the dominion upon the earth. You do some things, cause things to be set in heaven and cause things to happen upon the earth if you understand it. So these are things that we must seek about the kingdom. And in future, or subsequent lessons, not future, subsequent, because we're doing it in this series. In subsequent lessons, we'll find out about what these ordinances of heaven might be, what the keys might be, what the principles might be, what the concepts behind the kingdom, what are the things that, you know, we need to look for or search for or seek after that may not be immediately apparent, may not be presently known or not readily at hand. That, you know, those are things that you seek for. And what will those things be? And what is the impact it will bring in your life? Well, it's actually called a treasure. You know, there are treasures too, not just one. There are many treasures. You know, every scribe that is instructed into the things of the kingdom, we're told, will bring out of his, you know, house treasures. Now, of old things which he had by reading the law, but new things which he now has and understands by learning the kingdom. This is what Jesus said at the end of chapter 13 of Matthew. After all those parables, Jesus finally left them with this comment. And let me read it to you. Matthew chapter 13, and I believe he said it in verse 52. Therefore, every scribe, now these scribes, they knew the scriptures. They knew the Old Testament. They knew all of those things. But every scribe which is now instructed into the kingdom of heaven, that has now understood kingdom of heaven. So learning the Old Testament concepts, that's good. It's like a springboard. But now discovering the things of the kingdom, when you have that, those two combinations, he said, well, you'll be like a man that is a householder, you an estate. You have an estate, but inside that estate, you have treasures. That the old that you had before, and now the new treasures you can bring out once you now begin to understand these keys of the kingdom. Now, lastly, remember, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it's the honor of kings. Now, if we, you know, remember, his citizens are also kings. We'll get more into that later. God has made us kings and priests. So this, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. And we who say we are kings in his kingdom, we have to search it out. Now, how do we enter into the kingdom? We talked about that before. To enter into his kingdom, you must be born again. You cannot enter into the kingdom except you're born again. John chapter 3, you know, and verse 15. We see, verse 5. Jesus talking to Nicodemus said, well, you cannot enter into the kingdom except you're born again. You know, Jesus also said, you know, in other places, you know, he said, look, you cannot really enter into the kingdom, you know, except you be converted and become like a little child. So these are the ways that you enter into the kingdom. Except you be except you be born again, right? And except you be converted and become, you know, like a little child. You know, you can find that in Matthew chapter 18, you know, verses 3-5. He's talking about it there. He said, look, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. So we see that the entrance to the kingdom of God is through being born again and through being converted, become a little child. It's almost the same thing. It's the same thing. You know, all of a sudden, in fact, what's his name? Nicodemus said, well, how can these things be? Can a grown man become small again? And Jesus said, well, are thou a master in Israel? You don't understand these things. You know, so that's how you enter into the kingdom. Peter talked about getting an abundant entrance into the kingdom. But when you come into the kingdom, then what? So that the then what part is what we are trying to explain. Things that you must find. But I'm going to throw out an invitation to anyone here that is in this room today, or may even be listening later on, that may not have truly entered into that kingdom. Did you know that Jesus said to Peter, the devil has desired to, you know, have you and sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. And when you are converted, you should strengthen your brethren. So Peter wasn't really fully converted. I mean, all that time he was with the Lord. Jesus also said to Philip, look, have you had been with you all this time, yet you don't know me? So look, you may be born inside the church. You may be going to church all your life. You may even have been coming to this platform every day because you enjoy the preaching. But do you really know him? Do you really consider yourself to have entered in? Now, if you don't know or you are not sure, there's an opportunity here today. Enter in. That's what Jesus told them to go and, you know, tell the people. He said, look, go and tell them that they can come into the kingdom. But give it to them freely. So I want to present the opportunity for anyone today who has truly entered the kingdom of God to come on in. But you must be born again to do it. You know, and you cannot come in arrogance. It's not going to work. You can't say, well, you know, I've been there all this life. Well, maybe you have, but maybe you are not converted. Peter was hanging around with Jesus for a long time, and yet Jesus was telling him, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. So, ladies and gentlemen, come to the Lord. Jesus said, come unto me and learn of me. Come unto the Lord today. There's an opportunity for you to come. If there's anybody in the room, I would like to make sure, make your calling and election sure. Make sure you're in that kingdom. Step through that door. That door is being born again. And what does it mean to be born again? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. If any man be in Christ, God will turn your heart, make you a new person. It's got to happen. You can't, you know, it's got to happen. You can't enter the kingdom in your old ways. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But God will turn you, turn something in you, and give you a new start. And you can do that even on here today. There may be others that are listening later on, and that invitation is open to them as well. Jesus Christ, God's answer to the world. He says, look, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to the world. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. We're saved from what? We're saved from God's wrath and judgment that passed upon the whole world because of the sin of Adam down through the generation. But now we know that through faith in Jesus Christ, we can believe for the remission of our sins, and we can come into the kingdom. So I'm going to pray and ask that the Lord would touch every heart that's in here today. If you are not sure that you are yet in the kingdom, here's your opportunity. Father, I pray for those that are hearing me today, either live in the room today or listening to this replay that is shared to them by a friend, or however they are hearing this. There is room for you at the cross. Hallelujah. And the Lord, you know, he wants you to come. His hands are spread wide out upon that cross. Come, he said. Hallelujah. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I pray, Lord, that the eyes of people who are in darkness, their understanding will be enlightened even on this morning. The scales will fall from their eyes and from their hearts and even from their ears. That they be able to see, that they be able to hear, and they be able to understand. In the name of Jesus. Now, if any man will receive this invitation, it is free. Jesus already paid the price. It cost a lot, but it's free to you. It cost Christ his life, but it's free to you. It's freely given to you. Now, there are many more. Once you come into the kingdom, there are many more benefits, which we'll be talking about tomorrow by the grace of God. But first, you must come. Now, there are some to whom this message pertains. Those are those who have entered through that door. And Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Hallelujah. You must enter through that door. There's no other way. You can't get it. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And this is a commandment. You must be saved now. Because the times of ignorance God has overlooked, but has now commanded every man everywhere to be saved. You must be saved. If you are not saved, then in the final analysis, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But even now, you're going to miss out on a lot of things. You know, come into the kingdom so that you may enjoy the benefits that we'll be describing in the days to follow. These are exclusive benefits, members only benefits. You know, citizens only benefits. There are some exclusive clubs that say, no, members only. Well, members only. So members only benefits for those who are in the kingdom. Those benefits will be shared and revealed starting tomorrow by the grace of God. The Lord bless everyone, and the Lord enable you. And if you want to make bold to declare your faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now's the opportunity. Put it in the chat room. I have decided to step through that door. Hallelujah. We step through that door. We'll pray for you too. And if there's something you want us to pray for you about, raise your hand and we'll pray for you too. If you want to understand more, you want to receive this Christ into your life, and you need, better understanding of these things, you can raise your hand. We'll pray for you. You know, and don't worry about anybody looking at you. These things are important. These are eternal values. And if you want the understanding of this treasure, the Holy Spirit will help you. And that's another level after you come in the kingdom. One of the benefits of the kingdom is you receive the Holy Spirit. That's not given to the world. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come, whom the world cannot receive. So God gives Jesus to the world, but he gives the Holy Spirit to the church that is in the kingdom. So if you are here today and you need prayer, we would love to pray for you. We would love to pray for you that God will help you understand it. Because the understanding of people in this world have been darkened by the God of this world so that they will not understand. Because he doesn't want you to be saved. And he doesn't want you to understand these things of the kingdom. If you're here this morning, I take it that most people who are here are believers. It's a Christian platform after all, and people love to, you know, birds of the same feather flock together. But I'm taking no chances this morning, just in case someone is here that doesn't understand this truth and hasn't really fully been converted into this kingdom, have the opportunity today. May the Lord bless everyone in Jesus' name. Amen. And